Yeah, I remember being pulled aside early in our marriage, Sue, by my dad, and him telling me that if I continue doing what I'm doing, I'm going to drag us both to hell. Now, that's kind of a harsh statement to hear from your dad. And I really wanted to tell him to go jump in a lake. I might have, actually. I don't remember. But the Lord did begin to show me that by not speaking truth to you, by trying to make you feel better, by loving you with philios over agape, that that's exactly what I was doing. And that manifests in all kinds of ways. And men do it continuously with their wives and their children and whatnot. If you're in a, well, you have to, absolutely have to learn how to love with agape love. That has to be what drives you. Doesn't mean you can't have philios love. In a husband and wife, you need to have all three kinds of love. But the first love has to be agape. What is right has to come first. And in that whole situation, it wasn't about that you were getting math wrong. I could care less about the math. The thing was is that, you know, we homeschool because we believe that it's in our best interest of our daughter. Because what she would get in public school is so contrary. So unbelievably contrary to the Word of God. And really what it came down to in the heated part of our discussion was, if you're not going to, if you're telling me now you can't do this, then let's stop the facade. Let's give up the game and let's just put her in public school. And what I was thinking of is I would much rather have to deal with the nonsense that is so blatantly wrong in public school than to have to battle her learning how to live in unbelief from her mother. And that was really it. Is it because your actions and your attitude were 100% unbelief, pure unbelief, no faith in God? And, you know, I can deal with that, her coming back from public school. I mean, I went to public school and my mother, and look at me now, and my mother and I went to Christian school and oh my God. And my mother and my father, they dealt with that, okay? They dealt with that. And it was easy to deal with it because it was such a stark difference between that which is correct and right and that which is wrong. It's so opposed to each other. To me, it was more dangerous to have her learning homeschooling here from a parent that wasn't going to walk by faith. Because then that teaches her to justify herself, to walk in unbelief, to live in that space, which is as contrary, yet more dangerously contrary than what you get out of the world. Amen. See, the thing is that if you decide to walk by faith, then what is there that's put in your way that you cannot overcome? Amen. There's nothing. And this is something that you learn, okay? There's scriptures in the Bible where Paul tells Timothy to remember the prophecies put before you, stir up the gift. What is that? That's remembering all the things God's already done for you. See, if we spent time, forget about your failings. Brother Davey talked about that last week, amen? You know, why dwell on that? God's already covered it, taken it away. Why worry about tomorrow? Because that doesn't matter, right? Hasn't happened yet. Amen. See, fear is being concerned or fretting or worrying about something that hasn't even occurred yet. You're worrying about a phantom, a thing that is just, it's not real. It's just completely not real. But if you can remember all the miracles that God's performed, You know, the thing with the math was that I was trying to explain to Sue that you have this box of tools, you see? And when you see a particular problem, we haven't gotten to really formulas yet, but there's processes that apply. Like if you're subtracting a number and you've got a, you know, you got a small number that you, and you got a big number underneath it, you got to subtract, you got to carry the one from the other over to the thing. And if you guys know what I'm talking about, if you just didn't know that the process was where you borrow one from here, put it over there. And now if you didn't know the process, you just stare at it. But once you know the process, you say, oh, I know that process. I apply that process here. Now, why do you do that? Do you understand why? Well, maybe, maybe not. But I know that, all right, if I see that, this is the process. I don't need to understand it. Do you not flip on the light switch because you don't understand how electricity works? Do you not turn the key in the car because you don't understand how an internal combustion engine works and how the starter turns the flywheel, which rips the thing, and then the electricity happens? And no, we do things all the time, and we just do it because we just do it. We just take it as for fact that it's going to work. You see, and that's the way we can trust God in that. See, if you have faith, it's going to work. You see how that works? If you have faith, it's going to work. If you have unbelief, it's not going to work. Amen. See, if you start out with unbelief, you're already failed. This is the same. It's no different than when you were talking about, Sue, the whole going to the gym. You don't even need to go to the gym. You have a gym right here. We have a bicycle, and we have a treadmill. We've had all kinds of equipment. Yeah, I'm breaking up going through a tunnel. We have all kinds of equipment right here at the house that is now clothes racks or ornaments in the living room or whatever they are. You don't need to go to the gym. You need to get up early and get your butt on a apparatus and do some exercise. We have a swimming pool. You can go swim and do your water aerobics. You have every possible facility. Yeah, but it's too cold, right? You have every possible facility to do that, which you say you want, but the truth is you don't want it. You don't want it. A man does what he wants to do, and a woman does what she wants to do as well. These are just truths. And if you can accept that and wrestle yourself around to accept that and get rid of the self-justification, get rid of all the ox dung that your flesh tries to feed you, then you can get out of that space of unbelief and begin to walk in faith. And yeah, I left you in a bit of a stew when I walked out of the bedroom. And I said, look, then take her, forget it right now. Go put her in public school, because if you're not going to do this and walk by faith and trust God, then you have no business doing this. And I walked out of the room. And some may think, boy, that's harsh. Well, I don't care if it was harsh. I don't care. It was right. Amen. And I knew also by experience, give her 10 minutes and she's going to come around. That is my wife. My hope is that these episodes become less and less and less and less frequent.
Amen.
And that in those instances, that rather than go to that place of unbelief and doubt and I can't, and we all know that I can't means what? I won't. Rather than that, go into that toolbox. Just like when we were looking at the math, there's these tools you use to solve problems, and you see a thing, you say, oh, I know what fits that. You pick it out of the toolbox and you put it there, and there's your answer. It just works it out. You take the process that you know that works and applies, and you put it. And we have that with the Word. Did you know that?
Amen.
I mean, the Word of God is that toolbox. It is that armament, it's the sword of the Spirit, right? You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. The fight you were dealing with, Sue, wasn't about math. Math was not the problem.
No.
The problem was the enemy and yourself trying to get you to walk and stay in that place of self-justification and unbelief to destroy you. You see, he hates you with a cruel hatred. He hates you with a cruel hatred, and he will use anything he can to derail you, to destroy you, to dissuade you from having faith and trusting in God. Jesus says, in the world you'll have tribulation, right? But what? Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You see, that's a tool in your toolbox, you see? See, when things get too hard and you think they're getting too much, wait a minute. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Are you in Christ? Well, guess what? There's another little piece in your toolbox. If you know God's word, then you know that by faith we are in him. By faith we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Do you see? You can reject those things that are contrary. You can reject that thing that looks so scary and so impossible. Last week we were talking about Brother Corey and what he went through. And the sermon I was talking about was God's miracles are not the exception, they're the rule. Do you see? The miracle, the power of God, that needs to be the rule in your life, not the exception. And the way you do that is by faith. And when you have faith, you're going to have obedience. They don't go one without the other. See, if you say you trust and believe in God, but yet you don't do what he asks you to do, then you really don't, you see? But if you really have trust and faith in God, then when he gives you those things to accomplish, you're going to do them. Why? Because you have faith and trust and belief in God. They asked Jesus, what do we have to do the works of God? Jesus says what? Believe on him who he has sent. That hasn't changed. Jesus tells his disciples that those that believe on him will do the works he does. Yea, far greater works shall they do. See, the power of God in your life should be the rule, not the exception. Today it's a math problem. Tomorrow it may be witnessing to the cashier. The next day it may be you're broke down on the side of the road, don't know what to do. Any of those things, they're all so temporary. And God is not. You see? Every time you walk, every time you open your eyes from waking up, there is a miracle waiting to happen. Just trust God. Have faith in God. How good did it feel, Sue? Not that we live in feelings, but how good did it feel to shed off that unbelief and see success in faith in God?
It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was exciting.
Yeah. And you can have that all the time.
And it gave me hope.
And the next time you run into a problem, have that experience. Go back to that experience and say, wait a minute, God didn't bring me here to fail. You want to talk about a golden nugget to hold on to? And you know, I was watching some MMA fights with Dad when we were there. And there was this one guy, Brazilian, there was fight this other dude. And boy, he got on him and he hooked up and he was not letting go. And he choked him out in the first round. I mean, he was on him and he was not getting shook off. He was on him and it was done. Well, that's how you got to hold on to those golden nuggets of God. You got to grab them. You got to hold on to them and you let nothing shake you off of them. And the truth is that God hasn't brought you here to fail. He hasn't given you a daughter to fail at her raising her. He hasn't made you a wife so you could be a pitiful wife. He gave you those so you could be successful in them and grow in them and learn about him in the process.
Amen.
You know, Mom Joan, you're in South Africa. He hasn't had you there doing what you're doing so you could fail at it. He's had you there so you could learn to trust him and have success and have grow in faith and minister to all those people. I mean, imagine, guys, If you had the opportunity to be a missionary, all expenses paid. That's a good deal, right? Well, that's what you have, is it not? I mean, you got all expenses paid, missionary opportunity. You got no job, but you're getting paid, right? You got a place to live. You got food on the table. You got, you know, electricity. You got internet. Oh my goodness. You got it like good. And all you got to do is serve God. I know a lot of people that would love to have that. I think in times past, you may have seen your situation as a detriment, but I hope you see it as the blessing and gift of God that it is. And it's all about perspective. Do you see God as a benevolent, loving, caring, good God, or do you see him as the opposite of that? See, if you really see him as a caring, good, benevolent, loving God, then these circumstances that come up, you're going to have a different attitude about them. Maybe not initially. I mean, that first sort of knee-jerk reaction, that's what you got to sort of put off. You know, you got to put your foot on that and say, time out. I know that's wrong. I know this is right. And that's just an act of your will, right? Because that nature is still there. When I want to do good, evil is present with me, right? But I thank God, right? Through my mind, I serve the law of God. With my flesh, the law of sin. You know, the struggle you're dealing with is not a unique to you struggle. Paul the Apostle struggled with it. And he came to grips with it. He says, I'm not going to concern myself with the flesh. So let it have its knee jerk. Who cares? Put your foot on it and be done with it. Move on. God's grace is big enough for that. Covers that. Takes care of that. Washes that away. It's gone. Blots out the handwriting of ordinances against you. You set your affection on things above. You set your mind on doing the things of God, which is just having faith, trusting God. Then where's the struggle? You know, then what the enemy throws at you is just another opportunity for God to work a miracle. I bet you he thought he was, you know, he's got him now. He's got him up against the Red Sea and he's got Pharaoh coming. Oh, we got him now. Nope. That worked against you there, didn't it? You got him on the, we got him on the cross. We got him now. 3 days later, not so much. He said, oh crap. That might have been a faux pas. I get that there are things we look at that just look like, how are we going to do that? I struggle with it. I look at things, people say, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, you got to do this, you got to do that. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's not going to work. But that's unbelief, right? It's not right. So now I go, okay, don't know how that's going to work, but I'm game. Lord, what do you need me to do? How do we get there? I see the end point. I see no road. I see a cavern. And I don't fly. So something's got to happen here. I got to sprout wings or mysteriously take a step. A little metal disc pop up where I can walk on. They got to be pretty substantial because I'm a heavy, fat fellow. But really, that's how I get there. That's his responsibility. It's not mine. And I'm good with that. I'm not good, but you guys know what I'm saying. I'm okay with that. He's just proven himself over and over and over and over and over in my life, hundreds and probably thousands of times. So I have no space to doubt his hand is able to accomplish what he's put before me. Now, David is a great example, Sue. And that contrast that you read about is one I come back to a lot, because Saul, even though he received a new heart from God, go back and read Saul. He had, you talk about every possible single opportunity to get it right. I mean, it wasn't, I mean, the last straw was really the last straw. There had been many straws before that, guys. But when the prophet came, said, what is this bleeding of sheep I hear? And he went off and justified himself. That was it. That was it. David, I have sinned against God. And there was consequence, but there was also redemption. Even with that relationship, there was redemption. We serve a good God. We serve a good God. You know, resolve yourself. Choose to trust Him. Choose to have faith in Him. Choose to believe Him. Amen.